Roche hopes biotech is just what the doctor ordered.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Swiss drug company Roche Holdings has made a very big offer to buy Genentech. Well, the rest of it anyway. Roche already owns more than half of the U.S. biotech company. Now it's offering more than $43.5 billion for the remaining shares. Genentech has been doing some pretty solid business for Roche so far. Its cancer drugs now account for about a third of Roche's sales. Some not-so-terrible earnings from banks last week have overseas markets feeling pretty good this Monday morning. Hong Kong's index is up more than 3%. London's FTSE is up about 0.4%. Friday ended Wall Street's best week in a month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 0.4%. Last week, the price of crude saw its biggest one-week slide on record. Of course, today, the price of oil's back up more than $1.70 a barrel. Go figure. There's been a lot of talk about why the price of oil has risen so much lately, and one popular culprit is speculation. The Senate's expected to vote on a bill to limit that speculation this week. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
Supporters of the bill blame energy market speculators for as much as 30% of the recent run-up in oil prices. They hope to bring those prices down by broadening federal authority over futures markets and providing much-needed funds to regulators. But Wall Street lobbyists say the bill's blanket approach to curbing speculation would unfairly punish those who don't abuse the system. Greg Zerzan is with the International Swaps and Derivatives Association.
Investors, like retirees, would be prevented from getting access to the one asset class, commodities, that's been holding up relatively well in the recent market.
Zerzan says even a farmer trying to hedge the cost of fertilizer through natural gas futures would be considered a speculator under the deal. Consumers could also feel the pinch. Zerzan says just about every industry, from airlines to manufacturing, use futures contracts to hedge their energy costs as a form of insurance. Take that away, he says, and the price of that cross-country plane ticket could go even higher. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is in Europe today. His five-day trip includes stops in Germany and Italy, where he will meet with energy firms interested in tapping Iraq's oil. Violence in his country is down, and al-Maliki wants to send a message that Iraq is open for business. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Iraq is sitting on billions of barrels of oil, but it doesn't have the money or expertise to pull it out of the ground. So it's looking to European energy firms to help get the job done. In the long term, Iraq plans to partner with foreign companies to develop new wells.
The prize on offer, if you will, in Iraq is so great that no oil company can really afford to write it off completely.
That's David Kirsch. He's a former State Department energy analyst, now with PFC Energy Consultants.
But I still don't think the oil companies are ready to commit their own personnel to on-the-ground operations in Iraq.
Kirsch says the streets are too dangerous and the politics too unstable for big oil firms to invest the billions Iraq needs. Iraq's parliament has yet to pass an oil law that would protect oil companies' long-term investments. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It seems everybody's a little short on cash these days. I know I am. Except, of course, for presidential candidates. Barack Obama raised $72 million in the month of June. John McCain took in $27 million. Fundraising has become as much a part of a lawmaker's job as public policy. Marketplace's Steve Henn gives us the story in part one of our special report, PACMEN.
If you're young, ambitious, and a member of Congress, a Leadership Political Action Committee is this season's must-have fundraising accessory. Lawmakers first formed these loosely regulated accounts 30 years ago as a way of raising cash from lobbyists and other special interests. The money is then passed around to lawmakers facing tough election fights. Understanding these PACs is crucial to understanding how Washington works.
They are an arm for the member of Congress to use in gaining power.
Fred Wertheimer is the founder of Democracy 21, a campaign finance reform group.
They are a very important vehicle for lobbyists to curry favor with the members.
Wertheimer says when companies and lobbyists give to a leadership PAC, they're making an investment in a politician's future. So how does this work? Take Congressman Eric Cantor, a Republican from Richmond, Virginia.
He's serious. He's helpful. He's not just out for himself. He can raise a ton of money.
Fred Barnes from the Weekly Standard is excited about Cantor's prospects. Cantor became a leader in Congress, chief deputy whip, just a few years after he was first elected. He consolidated his power with the help of private equity investors, hedge fund managers, and other big donors to his PAC. Barnes says Congressman Cantor led the fight to keep their taxes low.
That's probably not a nationally popular issue, but right now it's not a problem.
And that probably doesn't hurt his fundraising either.
Well, it certainly hadn't hurt his fundraising, certainly people in hedge funds.
Turns out Eric Cantor is a fundraising machine. He used his leadership PAC to throw parties for investors and lobbyists at resorts in Beverly Hills, fine restaurants in New Orleans, and ski resorts in Aspen. He says it's all for a good cause.
Wherever we go, obviously we're trying to raise the most money so we can help our cause and we can, you know, return the Republicans back to majority.
And he's been generous with the money his PAC brings in. According to Federal Election Commission filings, in the last election, he wrote more than 200 checks to colleagues totaling $1.3 million.
We want to deliver on the promise to make sure we're helping Republicans.
And Fred Barnes says his Republican colleagues in Congress would jump at the chance to return the favor one day.
Of Republicans in the House, I would say Eric Cantor has by far the best prospects of being the next Republican speaker of anyone. In fact, there's nobody close.
In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Tune in tomorrow for part two of our special report and check out our website for details. Go to marketplace.org and click on PacMen. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.